Welcome to Getting to Know You. My guest is a fine film and theater actress. She is best known for her role as Alice Garvey on the television series Little House on the Prairie. I think she's probably one of the finest actresses I had seen when I went to see her in a play, and I am so pleased that she is back in L.A., working again and able to take the time to talk to me so all of you can get to know her. So welcome to Getting to Know You, Hersha Parody.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fantastic. Very, very happy to be back in L.A. and really, really great to talk to you again, Sue.
Let's get started and start where I do what I ask everyone when I first start an interview, and that is, where were you born, Hersha?
I was born in Neosho, Missouri.
You were?
Yes, I was born in Missouri. I was a war baby because my mom was a war bride. My dad, she's an Aussie, and my dad was over there in the Army during the Second World War. And he stole her away from Australia, and she came over here and lived in Ohio for most of her life, much to her chagrin.
Uh-oh. Our phone lines are kind of delayed, so I hope everybody will understand when I tell them that I'm not cutting you off on purpose.
Gotcha.
No, what I was going to ask you is, what did your dad do for a living? Was he in the service as his living, or...
No, it was Second World War, and he went and did what he actually did work on telephone line in the Army, though, and that's what he did when he came out. He worked for Ohio Bell, for Ma Bell, for 25, 30 years.
And did your mom work as well?
Yes, she was. She worked for the Red Cross for 25 years. Everyone in my family were avid swimmers and water people. Mom and my dad were boat people and taught Red Cross, taught canoeing, taught swimming. I was teaching swimming when I was just a kid, like, you know, 14. And so she ran a recreation center in Cleveland for 25 years and got all kinds of awards from the Red Cross.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. So where did you go to school?
Well, which kind of school? I went to high school in Fairview Park and Berea High, which is right, Berea is right outside of Cleveland Hopkins Airport in Cleveland. So I grew up in Cleveland, the suburbs of Cleveland. And then like from high school, I went to the Cleveland Playhouse and started working. I was lucky enough to get cast. And actually went there as an apprentice and then started off as a fellowship and then worked that summer as a contract. And then I went to Ohio University.
Well, that's it. Well, so tell me, when did you start into theater and doing all of the things you love to do most?
When I was 14, I was heartbroken over a fella. And I used to walk home miserable. And I was walking by... In my home, Baldwin Wallace is a college, heavy into music. And it also had one of the best community theaters in the country, Berea Summer Theater. And I was walking by this old converted movie house, and I stepped in, as is my wont, whenever I get a little bit nosy and interesting, I walked in, and I was found myself standing in the back of an old theater. And on the stage, there were actors from Baldwin Wallace College working, doing a play, which I later to be Petrified Forest. And mm-hmm. I continued my walk home after standing in the back of the house watching them, and I cried all the way home. I just remember crying.
Oh, God.
Then from that moment on, somebody pushed me into an audition for Auntie Mame. I was 14. I played Gloria Upson because I've always looked at least 10 years older than I was.
Ups and downs.
And I never wrote a script. Yes, ups and downs, exactly. Good girl.
Thank you. That's wonderful. So it took that to start it all. Now, how did you feel performing in front of a lot of people? Was that a nervous feeling for you, or did you really enjoy it?
Well, you're always nervous, but it really has nothing to do with how many people you're performing in front of.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, you know, kids kids are very different, and I was not a doll person. I was either downstairs in my basement pretending. I was a pretending. I was always a princess. I was always a movie star. I was always in danger. And I pretended every day. And when I wasn't downstairs pretending, I was out in the woods climbing trees. So, I mean, that was my bag. Didn't play with dolls all that much. So when I finally went on the stage, of course I was nervous. I always am. I've never not been so. As you know, you've heard everybody say, that's a good thing. But so it didn't have anything. And I started out by playing with good, you know, in community theaters, smaller houses. And then when I wanted to play house, bigger houses. And in all my resident theaters around the country, they've been good-sized houses. But it has nothing to do with that. You just want to do it, you just want to do a good job. You just want to do your job and
sure.
Do the best that you can. And you're all nervous about that.
Yeah. I know what you mean. So when did you leave Ohio?
I left Ohio home as quick as I could. Like I said, I moved from when I was graduating high school. I got an apartment in the Huff area in Cleveland, which was the ghetto at that time in the 60s.
Right.
And then I immediately left Ohio the year later. I was out, and I really left that neck of the woods after doing summer stock in different states. I went to live in Santa Fe, New Mexico for 3 years, where I actually stopped for the first time since I was 14 acting and just had a wonderful, wonderful time playing around and traveling and loving New Mexico, love Santa Fe.
Yeah.
And then one day I was actually working at a Ramada Inn in Santa Fe, and they were shooting something there. They shot, and they still do. They shoot a lot of things there. They were shooting a TV series, and this incredibly gorgeous man who I had noticed was staying at the hotel, and he walked up to me and up to the front desk where I was working, and he said, "Have you ever acted?" And again, I immediately broke down in tears. I ran in back of the office and started bawling. I said, okay, this is it. I need to get back to it. And sure, so a few months later, I packed up and came to Hollywood and started all over again.
And where's the first place you went? What did you know? Did you know anyone in Hollywood?
I didn't know. I knew one person who was a Los Angeles police officer, ended up being the head detective in the LAPD. I knew him, and I knew one of the guys that was in Santa Fe working on the film. So when I first got, but that's all. I didn't know anyone else. And also, the man that offered me the job, I did end up working on the series in Santa Fe. And I knew him. So I knew, but not well. So I stayed with friends at first. And then I got a one-room apartment off of Hollywood Boulevard for $99 a month.
Wow.
Whoa, boy, was that wonderful. And then I've lived in about 70 places since then in Hollywood. So.
And how did you get your first...
That's what it was, my first job?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, dear.
That's okay. It's no problem.
Well,
it's the phone system.
Luckily, it was ironic because as soon as I got to L.A., I was lucky enough to get an agent who I know a couple of other people, Jeff Lewis, one of them. There was an agent called Velvet Amber in town.
Oh,
yes,
she
wore
of
nothing
course,
but velvet.
Of course.
And God bless her cotton socks. She had a couple of us that went on and worked. Eventually, I did leave her. I felt guilty about it, but she got a lot of us started. The first job I got, ironically, was a dinner theater job back in New Mexico. So as soon as I got to town, I went back and worked for a few weeks there.
Gosh.
And I thought, well, you know, I guess I still have what it takes on the stage. So I joined up workshops, Melrose Theater, and
yeah.
I started doing theater and kept auditioning for theaters around the country. I worked in Seattle at the ACT. My thing is, my saving grace is theater. I just kept being on the stage, and that's what helped me, start working. I did a lot of after-school specials because I looked a very typical Procter & Gamble mom, even though I was far from it. had no children, and at that time had no intention of ever having children. That was not ever in my scope. But I was very lucky, and then, as you know, I got cast in one particular play at the Globe Playhouse, which no longer exists, playing Anne Hathaway, Shakespeare's wife. And I don't know if you saw, is that the play that you saw? Did you come and see me? I'm not really sure, but that's what got me into the Little House people.
Yes, I saw you. Kent and I came to see you, and actually we didn't come to see you. We see the play, and I saw you there, and I said to Kent, look at this actress's face. She's so perfect for our show. And he said, oh my gosh, she really, you know, because there's that wonderful, fresh look about that era, you know, of women in those days. And it's not easy to find in
right.
Hollywood, but
right.
there you
yeah.
were.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I think, but particularly at that time, Sue, because I think that was the time of Charlie's Angels and Three's Company and, you know, on all the glamour and the long hair. And I think now when I look at TV, I see a lot more of the, you know, normal girl next door looking kind of people now. They're not quite
right.
as glamorous. They don't need to be quite as glamorous as they used to be.
Yeah, no, you're right. There are a few.
A few, yeah, there are a few.
Yeah, there are a few. But anyway, yes, and so you came in and you met Mike. And actually, the first role was not for the Alice Garvey role, which, of course, became a regular series pair, but you actually played the sister of Caroline Bowles. And, oh, I
yeah.
was so
yeah,
nervous
was...
after Hersha because I was afraid having you do would mean that Mike wouldn't consider using you for the role that came available playing Merlin Olsen's wife. I thought, oh, what am I going to do?
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that. I would have been nervous.
Well, it all worked out beautifully, and Mike said, oh, she's just so great. And so tell me how the first day on the set as Alice Garvey worked for you.
Well, you know, it's funny because I remember necessarily the first day as I remember many first when, first of all, when I was playing, I think my character was Liza, the first role I played. And that was shot on location up in the and I got to know, not only for the first time, Michael and all the rest of the crew, but, you know, it that meant a lot. That was because I had the two things that, like I said before, I loved was pretending. I was actually getting paid to pretend. And I was in the nature. I was in the mountains, and I saw, you know, stars that I'd seen before, fallen stars. So I was, needless to say, in heaven. As far as when I got Alice, I mean, I remember the episodes that were kind of introducing me to being Wright, the barn burner, and it was just again what made it even more spectacular. I mean, it more memorable and to me was the fact again I was. Being paid 10 and outside in nature. When we went, when you were in See Me and shooting outside, I mean, I couldn't have asked for anything more. I mean, there was nothing more I could have in a million years have dreamt of happening to me, doing what
yeah.
I could do where I love to do it. So it was pretty awesome.
It was. And we had a good time. We're very much like a family. Don't you think it was like a family working on that show?
Oh, it was much. The whole, the atmosphere on the sets every day, inside or outside, was very family. And indeed it was. I mean, yeah, you know how many family people were there and that Mike brought over from Bonanza. So it was definitely a family from all ages. And it was, I've often said this to people. I remember after I did the show, I did a movie of the week, which I won't name. But they were shooting until 7, 8, 9 o'clock at night, da da da, and everything was dramatic and all this and all that and all that. And I said, you know, we started at, 6:30, 7 o'clock. We never worked beyond 6 o'clock. I said, I mean, and the quality of work and every aspect, and, you know, every single aspect of the quality work was, you know, just unbelievable. You couldn't have had a better quality show. Right. I was spoiled. I mean, I've said many, many times, I was spoiled rotten to work on that show because it was a class production in every way. And the people that you got on it for the guest stars were, you know, remarkable. You know that. And then the cast was incredible.
Well,
everything was.
You know, When you have good scripts and you have good things to work with, it all kind of comes together. And we were all spoiled because of Mike, I got to say, because of Mike and because of Kent. Yeah. We were all spoiled. Everything went quickly. Everything was organized the right way. And when we had to go out on our own at other places, it was shocking, actually.
I bet it was. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I bet. I could just hear you guys in the production office now.
You have no idea. The words that came out of our mouths.
I bet it was. I can't imagine. Because my mouth was open at times when I would just be flabbergasted.
Yeah.
And I'd be just crazy.
I know.
But we were very, very spoiled.
Yes, we were. So after the demise of Alice, and that must have been devastating to take a look at that script. It had to be.
Well, you know, it wasn't because I'm sure I was told before that. In fact, I think Mike brought me in the office before I saw the script.
I'm glad.
And told me.
I'm glad to hear that.
And he was absolutely, it wasn't like they do nowadays. You read it. I guess they did that to the housewives people or whatever. And I'm pretty sure because Mike brought me in his office, sat down and had a beautiful, beautiful chat and made me feel great. So I'm sure he's the one that, you know, he told me that before.
Well, you did something. You did an incredible acting job in that particular episode. It was really quite dramatic. And,
I loved it. Yeah.
Oh, it was great.
Now, that was exciting. People always ask me you may have seen it online, an interview, what my favorite episode was. And I've had a couple of them, but I think my favorite one, ironically, was that one because it was so, we had dealt with fire many times, but I had never been the center of the fire, and I'd never seen so many firemen. The LAPD was all around. I was dressed in that. You know, I really saw how they shot fire scenes with the gas and the you know, and the pilots just pulling up the planes up and down. And it was, to me, it was fascinating. I loved it. And we all, you know, we all love to do death scenes. We all love to do that kind of stuff. So it was good fun. I loved doing it. I want to use a couple seconds of that on my website that I'm desperately trying to put together.
Oh, that would be terrific. That would be
a couple
terrific.
Seconds.
So when did you move to Florida?
In 91. We had been here, and my husband was hoping to work on films. We were going to move there just temporarily because my mom was there, and I wanted to spend some time with her. She lived on Sanibel, and anyway, my husband was trying to form a production company there. So we were there, and we kind of got stuck because he kept hoping things were going to turn around and we were going to work on films. I was never a fan of Florida, but I was lucky enough to start working in the one professional theater in town. And so it ended up being just fine, but I was really happy to finally get out. I was very lucky, though, because I managed to, to keep on stage. And there were times when I was getting a couple paychecks because I was working for a company that put up with me for 12 years, a software company, one of the biggest software companies in the country, in the world. And then I'd have long vacations, so then I would go and work in the theater. If I was very lucky, like I'd get a paying equity job in the theater every other year, too. So it worked out well, but I just couldn't wait to get my butt back here.
Oh, wow. So tell me about... someone told me you have a son, yes?
Yeah. In fact, I just got through, I'm not through yet, I'm still working on it, making a gift for my first granddaughter who is going to be 1 year old on Sunday.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
I saved all my son's first birthday cards. He was one. He was born here in Canoga Park. And mm-hmm. when he was one, we had a huge big party here. And I saved all the cards. So what I'm doing is making a collage and making a box and putting things in it for her with all his birthday cards.
Oh,
so that's what I've been doing. And my son is now 27 or 28 years. I can't remember.
Holy smokes, Hersha.
And he's over in Hawaii. Yeah.
Well,
so,
I must tell you that Kent and I have six great grandchildren, but I'm not related.
Oh, come on, no way.
Yes. I have to keep telling I have to keep telling people I'm not blood related because I was only four when I married Kent.
Right, of course you were. I know.
Yeah. You know. I mean, let's face it, we're going to be married 29 years. Can you believe it?
I can't believe that. That is incredible.
I know.
So wonderful. That's just marvelous.
And we're still speaking. That's the best part.
I know. That was really incredible. If this were on TV, I'd have to hold up that picture of you and Kent on the beach. I'm not sure if that would be appreciated. Oh, boy.
I'll never forget that one. Living on the beach was quite a beach house, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was wonderful. Well, anything that's right on the beach that you could walk into the Pacific would be grand for me.
Yeah, it was really nice. Unfortunately, we decided after seven times of evacuation from living in our Malibu home that it was time,
right.
Speaking of fires, it was time for us to move.
Oh, yeah. Oh, boy.
You know.
Yeah, that's scary. So, that's scary. You know what's funny?
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
We were talking about fires and disasters, and I have to admit, I'm back, and when I was here before, I went through quite a few earthquakes, but I wasn't here during the big one. I was in Florida during the big, big one, and many of my friends left, finally. They said, okay, this is enough, I'm out of here.
Mm-hmm.
And I have this in my path, there's hardly an inch that's not covered with something, and most everything has glass on it, or it's China, or it's this, or it's that, and I have hard tile floors, so I have to say, every night, I'm sitting and I'm thinking, oh, God, is it going to happen tonight where I'm going to wake up or be awoken and I'm just going to be surrounded with the cracks and things? I thought, should I put my rugs down every night? Should I get this sticky stuff that you can stick people on? And then, you know, Beverly Hills having a couple of little earthquakes. I'm thinking, I'm just waiting. It's going to happen any day now. I just want.
Well, I have something that I should tell you that's very important. You must keep a pair of shoes by your bed.
Oh, that's a good idea because of the glass.
That's right. No matter whatever falls, you don't want to have to get out of bed and start walking, especially if it's in the night or it's dark out. You want to make sure you have a pair of shoes by your bed no matter what.
You know, you're right, and that's hard for me because I'm a barefoot person. I never, ever, ever wear shoes.
I know. I am too. But, man, I've got those sandals right by my bed every night. And I think one thing that most people don't really think about, and, you know, you just never know what's going to crash to the floor.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I have a huge mermaid. Oh, my gosh. What is it? It's probably by 4 feet, 3 feet. 4 or 5 feet by 3 feet mermaid that was, like I said, my family has all been water people, so we've got mermaids coming out our ears. And this water house painting of this mermaid over my bed. I mean, I was stupid. I'm an idiot for hanging it over my bed. It hangs over my head every single night, and it's just waiting for the boom, 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 boom.
Well, you know, they have something to bolt that to the wall so that it will not slip down off the wall on you.
Oh, I know. I'm just bad. In fact, I probably just put it with it. I mean, it's very heavy, but I've moved so many times and have done this so many times, it probably just have a nail in it. But you're right. I mean, that's what I should do. I really should secure a lot of things.
Well, now tell me what,
because we're talking, you know.
I know. Tell me your next move, Hersha, now that you're back here. What are you going to do?
Well, I've been, again, very lucky, thanks to theater. I've been here for less than a year, and I'm now working on my third play, Equity Waiver Play. I just closed a few weeks ago a show at the Rogue Machine, which is one of the top 99-seat theaters in the town. Excellent, mm-hmm. excellent. Got all kinds of awards last season. And now I'm rehearsing Sherlock's Last Case at the Group Repertory Theater, which is closing a play that they've done there, which has just gotten such critical acclaim, Paris Letter. And mm-hmm. I'll be opening that. I'll be opening Sherlock over the holidays. So I'm lucky that I'm working and busy. But as we all know, we get a little stipend that pays a little bit of our gas money, and that's it for Equity members. But I am put together. I need to get a website up, all my information gone, because indeed, and I was reluctant to believe this, the industry has changed tremendously. I mean,
yes,
I
it has
changed, and I'm all for it. I'm all for that. Most of the changes, I really am. I think it is. And I've always poo-pooed anyone saying, oh, it's just so competitive. No, it's so hard. And I said, well, it's always been that way. You know, I mean, that's the name of the game. But I think it is harder because just in numbers alone, it's very, very, very difficult. In the old days, I would do my theater. I'd go in and audition for an agent and do it live. And now you don't do that. You either have to pay lots of money to get in front of an agent or a casting director, or you have to have video on you. And if you don't have video, you have to pay someone to video you so you can. It's all on the Internet. So it is very, very difficult, especially for, luckily, I'm computer savvy, so I can do this kind of stuff. But it does take time. It takes a lot of time. I sat in front of a computer for 12 years, and I couldn't wait to get out of it. And now I'm finding myself sitting in front of a computer again.
Say again what play you're going to be in over the holidays so people know that they'll be able to go and see you.
Okay, and it's a fun play. It's called Sherlock's Last Case, and I can't tell you what happens, but it's a real switcheroo, and it's so funny. It's going to be... it's being directed by the artistic director of the Group Repertory Theater, and it's a marvelous cast. And I'm playing Mrs. Hudson, so it's going to be a good time, and it's going to be the holiday show. And please do, because it'll be fun. It's going to be a bit of a vaudeville, a bit of slapstick. And there's switches in it, there's, mystery, there's only, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4 characters, but there's like at least 6 or 7, there's only 4 actors, but there's like 6 or 7 characters, and so it's going to be fun. Enjoy it.
And where is it again?
It's at the Group Repertory Theater, that's in North Hollywood on Burbank.
Perfect. Well, Hersha, we've come to the end of my conversation with you. I can't believe it went so fast, but I'm really glad to talk with you, and I hope that everybody goes to see you because you are a fine actress, and I'm so glad you're back in L.A., and I hope maybe we'll see you soon.
Thank you, Sue. I hope to see you guys soon, too. Thank you so much. It's been a lot of fun.
It's been great, and thank you all for listening and getting to know Hersha Parody. I hope you'll join me next Tuesday on Getting to Know You. I'm Susan McCrae, and this is Share a Vision Radio. Good night, everybody.